only two copies of the book of Ruth back there, the bread from Bethlehem. Now, have you found your place yet? Luke chapter number 10. If you haven't, please fake it because it's been 5 minutes. Luke chapter number 10. We've been studying the ideas that we're finding in this account of a real lawyer standing up to our God, trying to trick him. He's going to try to trap Jesus in his words, which is a fool's mission. Further, he then is exposed by Christ because he's told him that he's right about his interpretation of the law. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second part, love your neighbor as yourself. The man was guilty of the first and thought he could negotiate his way out of the second being my neighbor. Christ asks him a question. Hey, buddy, what's written in the law? Oh, what is written in the law? Last night's message was just that. I don't know if you've ever been on that journey before where you see something in Scripture and you say, I'm going to go find out where that was said. Maybe you ask the Google, maybe you ask your preacher, maybe you ask a friend, and you start searching, where is that in the Bible? So what we did was we went back to Leviticus 19. And what did we find? I didn't read all of them, but 13 different places where God said, adjust your behavior because I'm your God. That's pretty powerful. Because what God wrote, his commandments, what he declared, his statutes, what he decided, his judgments, and what he spoke, his testimonies, are our standard. So I never heard it spoken that way before. Doesn't matter. It's the Word of God. What do we follow at Graham Road Baptist Church? So, well, my mama didn't practice that way. Number one, I respect your mother. Number two, she was wrong. Anything that disagrees with the Word of God is wrong. So, well, it's not popular. We didn't sign up for popular. Who did we choose? So, well, those are old ideas. Amazing. Old ideas got us this far. So, well, we need new modern methods. Nah, we still just need to keep obeying the ones we have. And so as we realize this, last night I talked to you about this idea of the neighbor. What did God say about a neighbor? Do you remember? Oh, let's go back and ask a wise young person. Oh, boy. Okay, Noah, there were 6 or 7 things that we're supposed to do. I'll give you time. The 6 or 7 things, Ryan, oh wait, I can't. Yes, ma'am, you got one?
See my neighbor,
you got two?
Know my neighbor.
Know your neighbor. Number three?
Embrace my neighbor.
Love
my neighbor.
It's in good Christian fellowship, embracing the neighbor part. Is that the part you were just boasting on her?
Showing up.
Oh, I know. She's getting it right here. I mean, Noah hadn't even gotten his... Oh, he got his notebook out. Number next.
Love my neighbor.
Love my neighbor. So that would be 4, 5, 6, something.
Remember your past.
Remember your past.
Remember your journey.
Remember your journey.
And remember your God.
And remember your God. Wow. Every man was made in the image of God. Just sit with that. He said, well, what if they're illegal here? They're made in the image of God. He said, well, I don't like those kind of people. Repeat after me. They're made in the image of God. So when we say, well, they're strangers in Ohio. I know. And what do? We see them, know them, embrace them, love them. Remember where we came from. Remember what God's done with us. and remember who your God is. The lawyer said, who is my neighbor? And the real answer is, who's your God? You show me your God, and you won't question about who your neighbor is. The lawyer asks the question at the beginning of the passage, who is my neighbor? And our Lord will ask a question at the end of the passage. What is the Lord's question? Man's question, who is my neighbor? The Lord's question, who was the neighbor? This is not about picking people with no hair, red hair, black hair. No! This is about, was John a neighbor today to someone? Is Graham Road Baptist Church being the neighbor? Ah, no, we got to know who they are. Nuh-uh, that's the best I could do. You don't have to know who they are. You just have to know who your God is. If everybody is made in the image of God, and they are, you have to then remember we bear His likeness. We were made in His likeness. You say, oh, Mally, what is just unpack that for me. Well, God made us, so we must have some characteristics that look like Him. God laughs. God sings. God has nostrils. God has a mouth. God has breath. Proof positive in His word. God has hair. God has hands. You're starting to understand the image that when you look at somebody that you do not prefer in the context of missions or daily living, you are desecrating and decrying and devaluing someone who bears the image of God. I don't think we ought to be reaching people over in the Middle East. I've heard this said in our independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches. I don't believe we ought to be taking the gospel to Middle East. Somebody ought to just drop a bomb on the place, clear the whole land out, kill them all, and let's start again. So what kind of church was that? Independent Fundamental Baptist, and I've heard it many times. Say, that must have just been in the South. You don't know that prejudice doesn't know the difference between the Mason-Dixon line and not. Every man is made in the image of God. That means everybody deserves to hear the gospel. That's what this means. We bear God's likeness. So does everyone else. And so if we bear God's likeness, then we ought to be able to get the gospel to every creature. So when we chose our God, we choose His word. If God's against it, so am I. Right, church? Amen goes there. If God's against it, so are we. I choose His word. I choose His ways. Thirdly, I choose His will. Now, some of you are nervous. It's like, are those His three big points and He just gave them? No, those were just like appetizer points. You know, you get like a single bite and it's good, but it's just not nearly enough. Don't worry, I got plenty more. Luke 10. You realize that I've been here two nights and I haven't even read the story? Did you think about that? We've been talking about all the groundwork that gave us the story. I am glad the lawyer with a bad motive asked the question. Perhaps we would have never gotten this story recorded for us. But we do have this story recorded. And what I love is the beauty of how, and I ended my message with this, not with this specific thought, but nearing the end of the message, I covered this thought. We go back to the law and look at Leviticus 19, and we realize that what God wants us to do with the strangers and the foreigners who are in our land. And then I come back and I tell you, and I'll tell you right now, the lawyer is going to hear a story about a foreigner who is going to teach him the lesson that last millennia. Do you know what a millennia is, Ryan? What? 1,000 years. So this has lasted 2 millennia. You know how much that is? 2,000 years. Very good. Verse 29, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? To which we echo back what? Who is your God? I don't know if we ought to be supporting missions. Who's your God? I don't know if we ought to change the $8 light bulb. Who's your God? I don't know if we should cut the grass. Who's your God? I don't know if we should run a bus and pick people up. Who's your God? I don't know if we should be reaching people in that neighborhood. Who's your God? I don't know that we ought to be supporting missionaries in China. Who's your God? I don't think we ought to be supporting missionaries in the Middle East. Who's your God? I don't know that I'm going to obey my mom and dad. Who's your God? I don't know if I'm going to respect my husband. Who's your God? I don't know if I'm going to love my wife. Who's your God? See, everything. I don't know if I'm going to be kind to the deaf. Who's your God? I don't know if I'm going to be kind to the blind. Who's your God? This is no reference to pastor making fun of me for being deaf tonight before church because I forgot to put my hearing aids in. Although, it's okay that you did that. It's fine. I did forget my hearing aids, but he did mock me. I just wanted to say, who's your God? But so, look, you know that you're not getting out at 8:15 tonight, right? You know that. How do I know? It's 8:18. It's taken me 2 nights to read 5 verses, people. All right. Let's try. Verse 30. And Jesus answering said, that's 4 whole words, and I'm not going to make any comment. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. The road was called the Bloody Road. Why? People were killed there all the time. You wanted to make that journey before sundown. The Bible says he fell among thieves, so indicating that they were waiting there to capture someone, which stripped him of his raiment, took his clothes, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Who's the priest? Religious professional. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, who's a Levite? Someone who served in the tabernacle, the temple, a family designated for that in the tribes of Israel. When he was at the place, what place? The place where the man that was wounded and half dead was on the side of the road, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So there's 2, priest, Levite. But a certain Samaritan, foreigner, stranger, not accepted. However, made in the likeness of God, bearing his image, and with a whole section of the law, 157 times strangers and neighbors are mentioned in Scripture, is now going to be the object lesson. You can imagine the cringe factor for the lawyer. Oh, great. He has to bring in this racial aspect. to things. As he journeyed, 33, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. I want to stop right there. Tonight, I want to talk to you about perspectives. What's a perspective, McKaylee? Come help me. Come up here and help me. I usually don't call on girls, but we're old friends. Come on. It's okay. Your hair is fine. No one's, you're just fine. Your identity's in Christ all the way. Come on. Okay. I would like to move closer to you. May I have permission to come closer to your personal space? Great. Face the people. Okay. Where's Emily? Oh, my word. So, what's the first thing, Ryan, you notice when you look at McKaylee and you look at me? What do you notice that's different? Gender. Pastor said hair. What else is different? I'm wearing a suit, she's wearing a dress. Clothing is different. What else? Age, yeah. What else? Thank you. Height, that's what I was going for. 18 other identifiers, and we got to height. So that means we're not going to see things the same way, are we? Now, both of us wear glasses to help us see better. Although, last week, I had a problem with my vision. And you remember when you went to the eye doctor and they had the chart and you had to read the letters and the numbers and the things, right? I lost vision in my eye. And I couldn't even read the 2-inch letters with glasses on. It was pretty bad. They fixed most of it. It's fine. But I was thinking glasses help us, but not always. Height helps us, but not always. So I want you to step to the edge, but don't step off. Okay, baby steps. There we go. All right, now just stay right there, dear. Now, who's taller? Who still has hair? When you change height, you change perspective. How many of you have ever seen the Empire State Building in person? A third. Did you raise your hand? If you stand at the base of the Empire State Building, last time I was there, I was with Brother Whitfield and his wife and my wife. We stood at the bottom, and we looked up, and oh my goodness, it's like, wow, that's amazing. And then we took an elevator ride, and we went all the way to the top, and we looked down, and the people were kind of just puny, tiny. And then we saw a helicopter flying over us. And what did the buildings look like from the helicopter? Puny. Tiny. And the people? Itty bitty specks. Smaller than a Smurf. I mean, just, you have to be old enough, ask the Google later. So what I'm trying to teach you is, where you stand affects how you see things. Okay? Perspective. You did well, really. So much better than any of your brothers ever did. Any of them. Report me. Tonight, I want you to focus on perspectives. How many perspectives do we see in the verses that I read? Let's talk about it in a specific way. Our perspective on people. Five. How we see perspectives. I read those verses. Who said five? Me. Who's me? Help me. Thank you. I was overlooking the ark. Excuse me. Please share the... That was genuinely funny. His name is Noah. I was overlooked. Some of my best material is wasted in church. Perspective on people. You said there are five perspectives in the verses I read. Please share them with me.
The man who was robbed.
The man who was robbed.
The thief.
The thief.
The priest.
The priest.
The Levite.
The Levite.
The Samaritan.
Homeschooled. Right, aren't you? Yeah. Let's talk about the robber's perspective. You got them all right. Let's talk about the robber's perspective.
See, well, the robber's perspective would never apply to anybody in church.
Must be your first day.
The robber's perspective. I'll hurt you to get what I want.
Now, that'd never be in church.
The robber's perspective. I will take from you to get what I want. The robber's perspective. First, I gave you the first point. I'll hurt you to get what I want. Second point, I'll take from you to get what I want. Third point, I don't care about you, your family, or your stuff.
When this is applied to missions and we take our perspective on people,
I need to read the third one again. I do not care about you, your family, or your stuff. You got all that, Noah? Not yet. The robber's perspective. You got that part. I'll hurt you to get what I want. I'll take from you to get what I want. And Sam will give you the third one after church. Right? Good.
The robber's perspective in church, in the context of missions, what is it?
I don't care about the people over there. I care about what we have. We need more light bulbs in the church. I don't care about you. I don't care about your family. My prayer request is more important than you. I needed the pastor to come to the hospital, and he was over there visiting you at the hospital, and I've been a member here longer.
He always lets her sing that song. I used to sing that song. The robber's perspective is in our church. Last night I said, Lawyer Baptist. Let me say tonight, Robber Baptist. I don't care if they don't have the gospel. I don't care that they don't have a church. I don't care if they need money. What do they think? We're made of money over here?
If you have the robber's perspective on missions, you'll never give. Second perspective. Well, we'll talk about the priest.
What was the priest's perspective? And again, I struggle right here. Like, who was worse?
And I'm in Ohio, and I could say it this way. Who was worse, sir?
Who was the worserest one?
Just trying to acclimate to the culture.
The priest, what did he do? Well, let's talk about the priest's perspective, because between he and the Levite, it's like a race to the bottom.
The priest, he came. He saw. He left.
You say, well, I don't understand. How is a priest's perspective a bad thing?
You come to missions conference. You hear the preaching. You hear the missionary who presents his ministry some points during the year.
And you walk out and nothing changes about you. And you'll sit and you'll listen to a presentation and never once ask, God, did you want me to do that?
Did you want me to quit my job tomorrow? Sell everything I have, go on deputation so I can go to that mission field? No, what is he? The missionary comes in and he's the subject of criticism. Did you see how she was dressed? Did you hear how he was dressed? Did you see their kids? They were like the spawn of Satan running around the church. Did you see the car he drove? His table was a train wreck. He was incredibly boring, and she couldn't sing to save her life. And those kids got up there, and they looked like a bunch of ragamuffins. The priest came, saw, left. When this perspective is in our church, I don't know if I'd rather deal with the robber than I would the hypocrite critic. At least the robber, you know you're going to get beat. You just don't know how the priest is going to slice you. Third perspective, the Levite's perspective. Now, you look at the Levite and think, okay, wow, yeah, it's just like the priest. But I don't know if this is worse or not. He came, he looked, he went to the other side and passed by. Parentheses here for just a moment. I gave it to you too fast. He came, he looked on him, passed by on the other side. There is this parenthetical perspective of the victim. If you're a Jewish guy traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, you're that guy. You think, my own kind is coming, a priest. Help us on the way. No, help pass by. If you're the victim and you're on the ground and you're half dead and wounded, say, hope's arrived. The Levite's here. Temple servant, I'll get help. And hope passes by. You're the victim. And you see the stranger and the foreigner coming. An archenemy of Israel. With a couple thousand years of racial hostility to between you and that nation. That people group. Help? No. Hope? Nothing's kindled here. If anything, maybe he'll finish you off. That's the perspective of the victim. But who showed up? Who showed out? It was the one that was not expected. It was the stranger who was able to remember his past, his journey, his God. You see, our perspective of people is shaped by the perspective of our God. Let's get to the fourth perspective, and that's the Samaritan's perspective. He came. He stopped. He saw. I'll go back over those. He came. He stopped. He saw. And what? He loved. If I'm the guy and my arch enemy is coming down the street and I've been already neglected by my own kind, I'm going to be blown away by this. You see, my perspective on people is what guides my response. And if you could ever grasp that, when you're handed a faith promise card, it's like a love letter to God saying, I know who my God is, and my perspective on people is God's perspective on people. They're made in His likeness, they're made in His image, and I will love them, and I'll remember my journey, and I will get them the gospel. Your perspective on people are going to come out when you understand God's command that says, love your neighbor as yourself. You have to see the loss when it's inconvenient. You have to see the lost where they are, as they are, and how you once were. You'll never invest in what your heart's eye can't or won't see. So, that's all introduction. I have 6 to 8 things. That's just kind of prepare you for that. They're just one-liner things, okay? Big lesson. First one I see, people are worth it. People are worth it. So it's going to cost me something. When was love ever free? Love wasn't free in the 60s when the hippies were propelling that message. Love has never been free. Love indicates sacrifice. Sacrifice means something has to die. So what do you have to take away from this? Your perspective on people. Number one, people are worth it. Number two, here's a hard one. You ready? Here we go. We love everybody always. Say, oh, I know we love everybody. No. Hear me. We love everybody always. So they're an idiot. Okay. But they're made in God's image, so be careful there. I don't like them. They're made in God's image. God loves me. I'm not sure He loves them. They're made in God's image. We love everybody always. Say, that's a hard pill to swallow. Get ready for number three then. People are worth it if they're broken. People are worth it if they're broken. What was the guy, the victim? What was he? What was the victim? He was broken. It wasn't worth it. No, we determined already people are always worth it. We love everybody always. And we love people even if they're broken. They're worth it if they're broken. Number four, people are worth it if they cannot repay. We want our money's worth out of this one. No. I can invest in the gospel and never expect anything back. Say, well, what if the missionaries had done? Well, a few dud church members probably gave to him anyway. I didn't give to the man. Do you think if I was a member of this church, I was actually giving to those people? Whoever they are, letters on the wall, TV people, all of them. Do you think I'm giving to them? So we just took on the Kaczynskis. Praise the Lord, but you're not giving to them. You're giving to God. So if people disappoint you, that wasn't God. That was people. If your expectation or hope is set in people, you're going to be disappointed every single time. But if your hope is in Christ, then you realize people are worth it if they can't repay. Number five. I told you 6 to 8, right? Oh, we're doing well. Number five. People are worth it when you're tired. What's the condition of the traveling Samaritan? What's the condition of the traveling priest? What's the energy level of the traveling Levite? I don't know, but they're all making the same journey. They're all trying to get somewhere. But even if they were tired, people are still worth it. So, Brother O'Malley, we've been giving to missions a long, long time. Wait till Jesus comes back. He's kept account of what you gave and what you kept. Number six.
People are worth it
when others have burned you. We supported a missionary to that country before, and he was a dud. We're never supporting another missionary again. Oh, the wisdom that proceeds from you. That's like saying we tried to win somebody to Christ in Stowe, and they didn't get saved, so we're not going to tell the whole town. Such wisdom. Number seven. Looks like we're going to get to all eight, Ryan. Yeah? People are worth it when you are broken yourself. When you're the one who's a mess, people are still worth it. You say, well, I need help. I need something. People are worth it when you're broken. People are worth it because we chose God. Number eight. You say, well, Brother O'Malley, what are we doing now? We're just reminding you that if you have a bad perspective on people, you'll never understand what God's trying to do in getting them the gospel and using us to do it. I'm going to run back through them real quick. People are worth it. We love everybody always. People are worth it if they are broken. They're worth it if they can't repay. They're worth it if I'm tired. They're worth it if I'm broken myself. They're worth it if I've burned them, if they burned me, excuse me. And they're worth it because God chose people and we chose God. When I had Michaela up here and we were standing side by side, the perspective was quite clear. I'm taller, she's not. I got down there, and the perspective changed. She was taller. I was not. So I don't see missions like Pastor does. Then switch to God's perspective. When you can see this world the way He does, it's a game changer. Tonight, Sam, I ask you if you can to come. This is God's Word. It changes our perspective. And tonight, if you learn anything, learn this. People are always worth it. Dear Father, tonight, I pray that our hearts will be pulled toward You. That we'll have no robber mentality in church. No priest mentality in this church. No Levite mentality in this church. But that we'll be a Samaritan in our mentality. We'll see the stranger. We'll know the stranger. We'll embrace the stranger. We'll love the stranger. We'll remember our journey. We'll remember our past. We'll remember who our God is. And that when the question is asked by You, it was, who was the neighbor? Oh God, I invite You to change our perspective on people. Would You stand?